Normally on the show, we attempt to keep things as child-friendly as possible, but every now and then we can hit some harder subject matters or may even have some verbal discourses that may not be suitable for younger or more sensitive ears to hear. In this episode, there may be either a discussion on more mature topics or may have strong language, or perhaps both at once. Your discretion is advised.
Hello, fellow systematic geekologists. Welcome to a special episode of Systematic Geekology. You could even call this a special theology beer camp happy hour. That's right. You're in this episode. You're going to hear some of your favorite priests to the geeks share how much they love theology beer camp and how even at that space, in that place, was some moments when we met each other for the first time face to face. Yeah, we've hung out on the internet. We've done podcasts together. We bonded over the big questions and those things that we love in pop culture and fandom. And but it was at Theology Beer Camp that we were able to hang out together in person and have a couple drinks with each other and get to know each other better. We all love Theology Beer Camp. Trip Fuller's been doing this camp for a long time. It's almost like Homebrew Christianity Con, where all the people that he interviews and the theologians and the academics come together in one place and we all hang out and wrestle with the big questions and explore theology and all that stuff together. And we hope that you can be a part of it in October, October 17th to the 19th in Denver, Colorado. Yeah, there's a geek stage. We've been a part of Theology Beer Camp and a geek stage for a number of years, and it's growing. And we hope that you can come hang out with us. In this episode, you're going to hear us laughing and continuing our friendship with one another and reminiscing of Theology Beer Camps of the past, what we're up to now, and then what we are hoping to do in October with one another. It really is like one big family faith fandom reunion with all of us together. And we hope that you can join us there. If you enter the promo code Geekshire, GEEKSHIRE, all caps, then you'll get discounts off the ticket. So listen to this episode, hear us geek out about it and gush all over this time that we had with one another, what we're looking forward to. And then we hope that you can be there with us in October in Denver, Colorado. Enjoy the show.
I love it. TJ might be a little late. And by that, I mean, TJ is a little late. He might be a little later. And oh, I might have to pop off a little early. So if I do leave a little early, TJ will just have to finish. That's his penance for being late.
You're popping up early. TJ's finishing it. I can't do this for another hour. You know,
it's hard.
I mean, we don't have to do this for an hour. I don't know how long it's going to take us to talk about Theology Beer Camp 2024 in Denver, Colorado.
I need to leave prematurely as well at 6 o'clock.
That's the correct time. What am I supposed to do? That is when we're supposed to leave.
I'm just sitting.
And I'm just hard as hell at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's right,
dude. You know, we've got Josh who's freaking edging us, and Will who's like just right on time, baby. Like,
I wonder what TJ, with taking TJ so long, I can come up with one idea.
Well, I can tell you what it actually is, but I'm very curious what your idea is.
Beer camp and the innuendos. That's really what beer camp is all about. And Cindy was like, can I join you this year? Oh, my God. Up there. Can I join you? You really
studio time. Don't get out of here.
Do you want to judge me even more than you already do? That's like, do you really want to ramp up how you see me or less than you see me? I don't know.
I think
Dr. Moto would become a celebrity at beer camp.
100%.
Percent.
For no nonsense,
I'm really scared
take
about.
No shit kind of attitude.
Yeah. I think personally, I feel like my best and worst has come out at beer camp, and I only went to one so far, and I had highs and lows in those 2.5 days.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And it's real high. About how she felt like she had to babysit you because she's like he's just gonna walk into traffic like he's so fucking wasted.
And I was like, just. You're not driving to Raleigh tonight, are you? You're like, I was thinking about maybe a little bit later if I have a piece of bread. No, you're not. Have a piece of bread. What is that?
I know how to sober up pretty quick. Like, it's fine.
Oh, shoot.
And I will say, if we're going to go ahead and talk about, like, history of beer camp, the way when it was here at my church, and then Nick and Joshua went over to my house to let Woody out. Because it was that afternoon, I was like, welcome to my house, and you guys got to meet Woody for the first time. That was special.
It was very special. Also, I was very happy.
Yeah, just want to say So many first are like wrapped up in like what we're talking about. Also, hey, hats off. If you're listening on the Whole Church podcast, it occurred to me that this is the first time you've heard Ryan Doe's or Nick Polk. And that's wild. So Nick Polk will be back in like 2 weeks because I was like, this is not OK. How have we not done a Tolkien episode on the Whole Church podcast? What is wrong with us?
And we're talking Wesleyan theology. Yeah. Baby.
Yeah, Wesleyan, Tolkien, Mead. Wow. I don't know how I'm going to fit Mead in, but you guys can rely on me to talk about me.
I'm ready for it.
Oh, man. First. I knew who Ryan was before Theology Beer Camp. That was 2022 when it was at Will's church. And I was so stoked to meet Ryan Doe's. And it's so funny because like I feel like this happens a lot in the podcast world where you're like, oh my God, that's Ryan Doe's, host of the Mighty Thor podcast. And Ryan's like, dude, I got like five listeners. You just happen to be one of them.
I'm glad that one of you was excited to meet me, but cool.
What killed me is I forgot who it was, but there was someone at the first Theology Beer Camp that came up to me and was talking about like our interview with her on the Whole Church podcast. And I was like, I truly do not remember speaking to this lady. And I felt so bad. I wish I remembered.
We're just going to put that on the podcast.
Yeah, maybe she'll listen and then criticize me. Hi, DJ.
Come to beer camp. We'll forget about you.
Come to beer camp where people forget about you. That's the first time Doctor looked me in the face to face. We're like, hey, buddy, gave each other a hug. And then he was like, man, your head is rounder than on camera.
Well, yeah, that's like, the first time I met Will in person.
It was. You're like, man, your head is a lot rounder. I was like, what? All right, Charlie. You're calling me Charlie Brown already right off the bat? Come on.
Josh is was without a single drop of rum.
Josh is great at meeting Peter. TJ, welcome, TJ. TJ is nice. Here. TJ did not come to that first beer camp, but a little bit later on.
He came to the second one, or he came to 2023. I did not make it to 2023. This could be the first time both of us get to be at Theology Beer Camp.
Yeah.
And 2022 was when I met Nick. I actually did not know who Nick was. We were like part of the early group and I was like by myself and I was just like, Will's busy because it's his church and everyone's bugging him. And I'm like, where is friend? I will meet someone and I will cause him to be my friend somehow. And then here's this bearded fella who's like the nicest person I think I might have ever come across. And he's like, hey, I like Tolkien. And I'm like, want to talk Silmarillion? And I haven't stopped bugging him since.
Dude, it makes me so happy because I also had gotten to the church and Will was like, hey, you can put your stuff, you know, in this room. And then he was doing stuff. And I also was like standing in the corner and also wondering where his friend.
Yeah.
And then Josh met.
Will was like the perfect matchmaker.
Oh, yeah. I think you might have introduced us. I think you might have put us together, Will.
A pretty good matchmaker. That's
like you both have beards in like Tolkien, right? And we're like, I mean, yeah, but that doesn't mean we're friends. Immediate besties.
My fighting sense peaks and stuff goes off. And I'm like, yep, you two should be friends. Well,
if you find another person who connects with you on Tolkien, universalist theology, and also is a Swiftie, how much more can you connect?
Yeah, it's pretty hard.
I'm surprised our wives let us hang out. Like, I'm surprised they're not more jealous.
They're probably eager to get us out. Sorry, Will keeps trying to interject.
I'm going to shut up. I'm going to put myself on mute.
We're not trying to.
There's no outline here for Joshua. There's no telling where this is going to go. The outline key.
In case that wasn't super obvious.
Yeah, he brought us all together. He put up the beer camp back signal up in the sky and said, "Let's gather and let's talk about beer camp. Let's talk about what beer camps of past." Beer camps of present and beer camps of future and how can, you know, people get involved, let people know kind of how they can sign up and all our discount codes and then what's coming up. And we can reminisce of memories of what we experienced in the past at beer camps and then what we're excited about for the next one. And let's just say that, yeah, beer camp did not start with us. We talk about our first beer camp or the first beer camp. Trip Fuller's been doing this for many, many years in the before times, before COVID, before he moved to Scotland. for a decade. He's been doing these gatherings as he is a pastor and youth pastor at heart. It's like those who love theology and beer, and he does a big lock-in or camp and come together, and they have keynotes and they have karaoke and they have games and they have connections and all the things you would do at like a summer camp, youth summer camp or whatever. He kind of plays out. It's trip con, is homebrew Christianity con. Like if you go to a convention, it's all the people that's been on his podcast in the last, you know, years, and then all his listeners from all over the country, all over the world come together and gather at this convention. So beer camp is homebrew Christianity con. So that's what it's about. Been doing it for a long time. And then we all met together when Tripp moved to Scotland, and then the world changed with COVID and other things. We're all kind of in isolation. And I think his listener base and the theology classes he did online spiked because people were looking for that connection and looking for a way to stay connected and learn and grow and how they understand God and theology and asking the big questions. And certainly COVID time was a time we were all asking big, huge questions. And so he leaned into that and provided a space for that stuff that he's already been doing for a long time. But I think he thrived in kind of making connections and being pastoral and the teacher and professor that he is when it comes to theology. So when that wrapped up, he moved back to the States. And he was like, I need to do beer camp. It's time to do it again. Looking for a space, a space that didn't work out for whatever reason. Then he came to me, since he lives about an hour down the road from me. Hey, would your church be able to do this? I said, well, let me think about it for a moment. Okay, I thought about it. Let's do it. It took about 2 seconds for me to do that. And I didn't even ask permission from my church council. I said, hey guys, this is an opportunity. This is what we're doing. This is going to be fun. You're on board? Yes. Yes. You still love me as a pastor? You want to keep me around? And they were like, sure. So then we did it. And it all worked out. Again, and then that was a space where it was kind of trying to figure out how to do this again, how to be together again, how to be in a building together again and have these conversations. And there were a couple people who were a part of that who are very good at organizing and scheduling and staying on task and creating outlines. And we have... we have Tidyco that are helping out with the beer camp in 2023 and then this year in 2024. So it was cool to kind of be a part of that initial reemergence of theology beer camp and create a cool space for that. But then I'll also understand that it moves around the country and in different spaces, and it's growing at a larger location in 2023. That also, what was the name of that church again? That was
the venues.
Oh, venues, yeah, such a cool church. Such cool people.
Super cool.
Super great. And then it's going to be in Denver. And the dates for it in Denver, you guys remind me, I don't have it in front of me. It's October
17th through the 19th.
Yeah.
Wow, that's right.
On the 16th and maybe after 20th in Denver, Colorado. And we'll give out our discount codes from our podcast all around. But yeah, that's kind of a summary of where it's been, where it was, and what we're looking forward to. And man, some of my fondest memories were for when it was here in Theology Beer Camp at Holy Trinity because of meeting you guys for the first time. We knew each other online for a while, but being in person, but then coming back together in 2023 in Missouri was a super blast. Cause then we like lived in the same house together for a couple of days. And man, goodness, we don't want to share all the stories of what unfolded. Yeah. But and we missed Joshua at that time. So now Joshua's coming up at the next one. And so
if you meet Joshua
in person, now's your chance. You will not be disappointed. And he might throw a Uno reverse card, theology, philosophy, talking question at you at any moment. So just be prepared.
I do want to ask.
The house board games might be less fun with Josh there. He's really lucky. He's super lucky.
But Josh, you might get to see way too much of Josh Patterson if you come and stay in the same house.
Just walk around a corner.
After me and Josh Patterson talk pirates, I just can't wait to hang out with him in person. Like, I feel so much closer. And then I actually got the book. We talked about, so this is on Systematic Ecology. We talked about Pirates of the Caribbean and could Jesus be a pirate in the Caribbean? And then he recommended a book to me, and this is how I forget people. I already forgot the author, and the name of the book is like Mutiny something. Will sent it to me before Josh did.
I sent it first before Josh. And on that podcast, listening, you're like, yeah, I think someone recommended this book. I was like, it was me, dude.
So once I get the recommendation twice, I'm like, I have to read it. And then I read it. And then I got Josh to connect me. And actually on Whole Church, we're going to be interviewing the guy at the end of July who wrote Mutiny, because I just need more excuse to talk about pirates.
Are you going to talk about Mutiny?
Yeah. I love Josh Patterson. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about Mutiny and some of the AI. And does AI pirate creative arts in church? Find out later in July on Whole Church Podcast. When did it become theology beer camp and not just beer camp? We always say beer camp. Y'all ever notice that we always say beer camp and then it's technically theology beer camp, but now on like the social medias, Trips changed it to just say theology camp. And I'm like, I like how even though it says theology camp, I don't know who does it. Someone changed it to just say theology camp, but we still call it beer camp because you know what? Drink up, me hearties.
It's code switching. We're code switching the advertisement based on the projected audience.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Speaking of projected audience, since this will be on Whole Church, I want to talk some as someone who is more conservative who went. So I think a lot of times you hear theology beer camp and you hear who's going to be speaking and it is mostly progressive Christians. And then like you hear beer and you're like, oh, wait a minute, there's going to be a lot of drinking. You don't have to drink to go to beer camp. There are a lot of other options other than just alcoholic beverages. There's even AA meetings. But as someone who went, I was really nervous when I first went. I was like, oh my God, there's going to be people who believe all kinds of stuff that I haven't even heard. And I was prepared to be completely overwhelmed. And I even sat in a lecture where someone suggested maybe we need to call God she more often. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. And you know what? I heard her out and I think she might be right. Man. There's a lot of stuff that I was like, hey, maybe I'm wrong about. And then there's some stuff that I'm like, I think this is wrong. And I talked to people. I was like, hey, listen, I see it differently. And they're like, cool, let's talk about that. And they were very kind to me. I've never felt more the outsider in any situation in my life. As you know, I'm a white male. I don't really have to feel like the outsider that often. I did in that situation. And I've also never had a group treat me kinder. So it's kind of like, hey, listen, you don't have to be someone who agrees with every theological point of every speaker that's going to be there. You're still going to be treated nicely. You don't have to drink. And I think it's still a worthwhile experience. Like I was challenged. I grew a lot during that. It was a really fun time. TJ, I'm curious, since we didn't get to like experience our first time at Theology Beer Camp together, what was your first time the next year like? Did you have like, did you feel out of place any? Or like, were you like, yeah, no, these are my people?
I was there to do a couple things. Help trip and drink.
Yeah. You did those things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fair. All right.
Yeah. I felt right at home.
Well, I want to ask you too, because you said this last year after the Missouri experience at the very end when we had that communion service together. They were intentional about who was serving communion.
I missed a communion service?
Queer.
Unreal.
Community being that those who are serving the bread and wine and having that kind of sacramental experience with those who are on the margins, who Jesus identified with and invited to his space to have meals with. You said a statement of like, I've never felt, or correct me if I'm wrong. Did you say something like, I've never felt more like the church, or the church would never express something? You had some phrase of the church or spiritual or sacramental experience that you had there. Can you share about that, what you experienced and shared?
I can share that. What I probably said was that it was the most I've ever felt like a church was supposed to be.
There you go.
Ooh.
Something like that. I don't remember most of what I say. That's why I like it to hang out with people who write down the things that I say.
Yeah.
It's really convenient.
You have Joshua creating outlines of things that you said, which is good. But I think you're right. This is what the church is and what it should be. And it gives a beautiful picture. I there was a news article from the Baptist News source. Nick, do you remember who did that? It was it Baptist News Today or something
like that. Yeah. I think it's like the most popular Baptist news outlet. And the guy, I guess, attended beer camp
and wrote a glowing review. Glowing.
Oh, yeah.
And was sharing about all that was going on. And then there was one little comment. He said, and there was a geek stage, whatever that was. And then he moved on.
Yes!
And I was like, hey, we got a mention, but I kind of feel the same way, whatever that was.
That's funny.
Hey, we'll talk about DJs later, but I do think, you know, to talk about what it is and is for all people, even if you're not necessarily in the speaker's theological lane or identify everything or agree with everything with that particular speaker or group, mm-hmm. people are there who are curious, and it's a safe space for questions and exploring, and a space for those who've been disenfranchised and hurt by the church, but still want to connect with people who ask the big questions around them. And so they listen to these podcasts on their own, whether taking a walk or walking their dog or in the car or taking trips, kind of in their own head. But then at this space, you get to see people in person and hold hands and give hugs and make connections that you never thought you would. So that's what's going on here, like you would at a summer camp, that meet somebody for the first time and then you end up becoming best friends or a partner on their podcast or something like that.
So before we talk about what Geek Stage is, I'm gonna do that. What do you call it? The Uno reverse card question?
Yes.
You are. And I'm gonna put everyone on the spot, including someone who's not here, which I love doing. It's great practice. Everyone should do. Don't do this unless you know someone well enough that you can get away with it. Christian Ashley loves me, and he won't mind me doing this. So Christian, I think everybody here knows Christian or knows of Christian Ashley. He's currently attending a Southern Baptist seminary. Even if he is okay with drinking, he cannot drink while at that seminary because he signed an agreement. Knowing what we know of Christian, do you think someone like Christian should attend? Not that they could, like everyone's welcome, but should they, like, would he get anything out of it? Like, he can't drink and he's going to disagree with most of the theology. What would the point be?
I think he'd get something out of it, but I don't think he'd enjoy himself.
What do you mean he wouldn't enjoy himself?
Not because of the drinking. Just I think Christian, he might enjoy it. He might enjoy being the most different person challenged in the venue.
Yeah. I thought it was so funny so this was before I came across to Nick's side of the line on universalism. So I still was like, nah, some people just burn him forever. When I first went to theology beer camp, like that's still where I was at. And it was so funny to me that like I met Nathan Gilmore at this camp.
Yes.
And goes, I'm the most conservative person here. And then proceeds to tell me how he's a universalist. And I'm like, oh man, I don't belong.
Nathan Gilmore needs to make a return. I don't get why he's not just like a staple in all these Geek Stage things. He's got more cred than all of us. Like maybe excluding Nick, like
he's got
done
it.
The work. Like
it's like he doesn't believe in his own cred. We're calling you out, Nathan Gilmore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Joshua, what does that feel like?
He was on a round table at the whole church a couple weeks ago. And then he did share that, like, he's been teaching a job change and had some medical things going on that kind of kept him out of the loop for a while. So he's been kind of on the table with some things. But he's on the upswing, and it'd be great to get him there. Nick, I want to know your answer about the Christian Ashley thing. You partner with Christian. You've had conversations about fandoms. We probably would stereotypically say there's no way he watches that and enjoys that, but does. And and even though he has, like, definitely he's not moved by a lot of things.
I love that quick little reference. Beautiful. Thank you.
He's not moved by much, but one day I'm going to move him. I'm going to make him move. And they you know, what would you take? Like Christian coming, he's a teddy bear, he's gentle, he is about as loving as a person you can get, even though he has his way of believing. What would you say how he would feel or be welcomed at Theology Beer Camp?
Yeah, Christian, I think I've done more podcasts on systematic ecology with him than anybody else. And so me and Christian, Christian's actually going to come to Nashville, and we're going to hang sometime in August. Cool. And so we've become friends.
I'm jealous.
You know, we're very, you know, pretty much on the opposite spectrum of things. I think someone like Christian's a unique individual in that he is firm in his beliefs while also open to conversations, being wrong, and having friendships with people who don't believe the same things he does or are in the same camp ideologically as him. And so I think he would go to beer camp, and I think that he would enjoy the friendship, and I think he would enjoy the Geek Stage, no doubt. I think he would probably, I don't think he would like the main stage. I think he would probably be more comfortable in like the open and relational stage, which was smaller and more nerdy, just to challenge him. But I don't, I think people who have the same ideas as Christian or in that same camp, if they have the same posture as Christian, I think that they could enjoy friendship and the intellectual challenge. But I don't think most people who go to Southern Baptist seminaries would enjoy themselves.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he can hang out with Joshua, who, you know, they disagree vehemently about The Last Jedi. So I think if they can be friends when it comes to The Last Jedi,
actually,
then they can be, he can be friends with anyone. But yeah, Doze, yeah. What you got? What I think Ryan had a.
I'm probably the person on this call that knows Christian the least because I've only heard him. I've never actually done anything in an official capacity.
What a shame for Christian.
My version of what Nick said so eloquently and flowery and very like ride the line is you can enjoy this event as long as you don't come into it being a complete turd in the punch bowl. Yes. Like,
yeah,
have a good time, meet good people. And guess what? You're probably going to have a good time. You might stumble upon something you didn't think previously. It may challenge something that you did, but like, just don't be a turd and you're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
And it's not even, it's not even about fitting in, really. There was there was a whole one other Pentecostal at Beer Camp 2023.
Same thing in 2022. We got two each year. Come on.
Maybe three of you can get together this year. Yeah.
This year, I don't think Aaron's going to come.
Oh man,
I think there might be a two limit.
That stinks.
Something might happen to one of us.
Pentecostal.
So I want to just for a second to save us work, because TJ and I sometimes aren't good at our jobs being the host of the Whole Church podcast. So Will, could you tell us why all of the people who follow the Whole Church podcast who are like Calvinist or like grew up Catholic and are freaking out right now shouldn't freak out that we're going to be a part of this? Then let's throw it to Ryan to talk about what the first geek stage we did was like and what are all these stages about.
Yeah, the growth from the geek stage in the youth room at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church to a slightly bigger stage in Missouri, and then in the next one. The whole church audience, I think, if you again, like, kind of like Ryan said, but a little bit softer. If you remain curious and open to what God is doing in the world, regardless of your own little world or church, then I think it's a great space. And I think come in being curious about how people experience God and the questions that you have. Be more curious about the questions that people have rather than trying to give people the right answer. And there are people on the stages, main stage and other stages who definitely have written lots of books and feel like they have some good answers to things. But if you explore what more about the questions rather than the answers and do that, you're going to have a good time. And there's, yeah. And at this place, there's more people that are progressive than conservative, or fundamentalist, but you have all traditions from people who are questioning or atheist or agnostic all the way to like Roman Catholic, to Lutheran, to Methodist, to Church of the Bifrost. You know, you got lots of things like that. So I don't know if that helped answer your question, but I think it is for everyone. And if you come in open and curious, you're going to be fine. And I have no idea what made Ryan laugh at that.
I'm just very glad that people who are watching this video cannot see the private chat. That is all.
Yeah.
I will only tell you that it started with me asking if more Pentecostals could come, if I could bring my own snake. And that's all you need to know about side conversation, guys.
Just bringing back the days of AOL Instant Messenger, baby.
Oh, man. Ryan, tell us what the geek stage is.
Oh, my gosh. The geek stage... The geek stage was an idea for people to get together. And like, I always felt like maybe the point of the geek stage was What if I want to relate to these topics in a different way? Because like I remember the first beer camp I went to was the one we're all kind of talking about as our Genesis moment. I kind of felt like we were truly the nerdy kids. We were the nerdy kids in the lunchroom where it was like, hey, anybody else want to come hang out with us? And then in that youth room on that afternoon, I was like, oh my gosh, there are a bunch of people here that want these other conversations. And then this last year in St. Joe, it was like, we can sustain this because people are willing to relate to these topics on different, you know, different wavelengths. And, you know, we don't have to be the smartest people in the building, but I would say we probably had one of the most enthusiastic rooms. We had one of the most talkative rooms, which I love that because we had scholars and speakers and professors in our room. It wasn't like we were just like arguing about nerdy, you know, internet crap the entire time. We were having substantive conversations that relate to both the spiritual, the pop culture. Like it was this beautiful meshing of a lot of different things. And I think through the Geek Stage, we got to actually bring up topics that might have been more accessible to people coming for the first time. Like, I mean, all of you have met my wife. My wife, Kim, has come to the last two beer camps, and she was so incredibly worried that the main stage topics would kind of outkick her coverage, we'll put it that way. she wouldn't be able to hang. She wouldn't be able to swim in those deep waters. And I think the Geek Stage gave her that, like a life preserver to talk about these conversations in just a different way. And it was a beautiful thing. And our room was, I mean, I fell in love with kind of the regulars that we had in our room this last time around. Over the multiple days, we got to see so many familiar faces come through that room. And that was awesome.
There's two places I cried. It was in the Geek Stage was where I cried because I had connected with people, like you said, those returning people who felt more and more comfortable as the days went by to just share. And we invited people to do that. And then, of course, the service, the communion service led by Flamey Grant, you know, I mean, those are the two places I cried. Yeah.
I can't wait to meet Flamey Grant.
And the first time I met Tripp in person was a mutual Lutheran pastor friend of mine who actually Daniel Pugh's brothers, best friends with Tripp's brother. They grew up in Raleigh and went to the same high school together. And so Tripp was moving back to North Carolina and he had this live event. And I was like, cool, I listen to this podcast. I want to meet this guy or at least go and just sit in the audience and listen to the live thing. Well, it was like a snowy, icy day in North Carolina. And when that happens, everybody stops driving. No one goes anywhere. So it was very low attendance. I got to like walk up to Tripp and Dan was like, hey, dude, I think you and Tripp would get along because you both like Star Wars. And we kind of locked eyes, started talking about Star Wars, and like that stepbrother moment. Did you become best friends? And so we connected, of course, theology, but also over like Star Wars and geeky things. And then I started sharing some of the stuff I had done in the state with God Loves Geeks and working at North Carolina Comic Con and doing panels about finding God in comics, finding God in pop culture and the culture that pops, trying to find God and the questions and the philosophical theological questions that we all wrestle with are often in those stories that we geek out on as well, the fandom. So that spiraled into like eventually Tripp and I have a relationship talking about that. And then Tripp and I over COVID were able to interview Jason Aaron, famous top tier Mount Rushmore Marvel creators and writers, because we were trying to raise money for local comic stores. And so we started talking about, and Jason Aaron's outspoken atheist and saying, look, I don't believe in God, but yeah, I'm intrigued by the conversations and the questions that revolve around this. And he was exploring that through his Thor book. Well, we started talking about how Tripp and I were both talking about it was one of our favorite stories of all time, written by an atheist, by two people. One happened to be a pastor, Tripp's ordained, and a an academic theologian. And so we had an amazing conversation with Jason Aaron on his podcast on Homebrew Christianity. Well, then Ryan, at some point down the road, months, years, days, I don't know, tagged us in a post that said, hey, you want to listen to a good conversation? Why don't you do this? And I just reached out and said, Ryan, thanks for that. Who are you? What do you do? Let's chat. And then it just snowballed from there. And then from there, the idea was like Tripp and I thinking about what could happen here at Theology Beer Camp when it was here at Holy Trinity is to have a geek stage to talk about Jason Aaron's run on Thor and which gods are worthy or not. Cause I kind of said to Jason Aaron, I was like, I think what you did in that book is kind of what Tripp does in his podcast. He's discerning what gods are worthy or not and what gods you should or not put your faith and trust into. And so that's kind of the genesis of then having a geek stage. And then, yeah, it was a small, mighty number. We were not the academics or main stage. We didn't have the million thousand downloads on our podcast in that little geek room. But, you know, when Diana Butler Bass walks in and talks about she's geeking out on Columbo, we're like, yeah, heck yeah.
That was gnarly.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. We love Columbo. Yeah, you know, so you're kind of like everybody geeks out on something. So let's talk about what that is, and then what are the underlying message behind this? So that, and then last year was leveled up because we brought some scholars who work in that area, Donna Bowman and others. Her husband, man, his name's slipping my mind. I just ordered his book on Lost. Noel, yeah, I cannot wait for his book.
On Lost. How could you forget Noel? Come on now.
I, you know, there's a lot of names. I forgot. Not down here with the mustache. Oh yeah.
Oh man.
I didn't want to step on Ryan so he would come to Geek Stage, but that's some of the genesis there how we got here and what we're trying to do. And like the guy in the news article said about whatever that was, I'm like, yeah, we can feel that too, whatever that was. But we're coming together and having some pretty cool zesty conversations around
whatever stage. That was.
I've been storing up a lot of comments that I gotta let go. I'm sorry.
All right, I'm gonna go to mute and let you run. Cook, baby, cook.
Go off, King.
Okay. So we do systematic ecology. Me, Will, TJ, sometimes Nick, very occasionally Ryan, unfortunately. He has his own things going on. I understand.
I have an upcoming appearance, though.
An upcoming appearance,
though, right, Josh? Yeah.
Is it? What? I feel like yes, but I don't remember what it is. My memory is garbage. What is it? What are we doing?
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is what you asked me to do.
What? That's right. I forgot about that. It's going to be so fun. That's going to be so much fun. Okay, sorry.
I learned that he scheduled texts in months in advance to be sent to us. So if you
part of this recording, technically.
Yes.
I have a text that's going out to all of you guys at the end of July that I can't wait for you to get.
Dude. Anyway, I learned about that today.
The only schedule that Josh manages is mine. Okay? He doesn't have time to worry about his own. He can't remember it.
That's true. Christian earlier today was going to do a podcast with TJ at 4:30, and I told Christian, TJ's busy. Sorry.
It's pretty funny.
It was pretty entertaining. And I'm glad you don't get mad at me because I do just take these liberties. I'm like, I really think that TJ just forgot and he's okay with me just telling Christian that he's busy.
All right, Joshua,
stored up comments. A lot of this is really just about like what systematic ecology is and how it spun off of the Whole Church podcast. But I think it's worth noting some of the stuff. So Ryan, actually, I think was the one who talked about how like sometimes the geek stuff makes it just more accessible. So what's interesting to me, I'm coming to a point eventually, but let me build to it. We started Systematic Ecology. Originally, really, all it was that we wanted to think deeper about this geek stuff. And I, as the person who's like the whole church guy, who's like ecumenical stuff, and hey, can the church actually get along, even though there are people who think that we should have communion served by queer people and people who think that queer people shouldn't be in the church? And I'm like, this is hard. This is a hard question. This is what we've been wrestling with for years on the Whole Church podcast. It's like, how do we have church unity when there's so much disagreement? Will comes on, talks about Star Wars. And it's easy, like not that it's easy, but it's like, man, it's a lot easier for me to convince someone like Christian. Again, we're just going to keep using Christian as our conservative go to guy and Nick to come together and talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer than it is for me to be like, hey, guys, what if we just talked about theology and got along because we love Jesus? It's easier to say, hey, we love Buffy the Vampire and let's build from there, because that's like a low stepping stone. And that was like for me, a lot of it started as like an ecumenical work that systematic theology became. And then it became more about like, let's actually answer the questions these IPs are asking, right? Because a lot of the times, the stuff that we watch, the stuff that we consume, the comics we read aren't trying to preach a message to us. A lot of times they're asking us questions about like, what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be a hero, to be a villain? who is worthy of Thor's hammer? Like a lot of the stuff is like questions. So since my theology kind of evolved from me going, hey, ecumenical work, into more of like, hey, let's answer these questions. Let's actually wrestle with what the IPs are talking about. Not just shove Jesus into it, not just use that as an excuse to get along, but actually address the questions that the pop culture is asking. And then very, very recently, we did an episode on Taylor Swift's newest album. And it was really good. It was a great album. TJ's wrong. Sorry, TJ. But we... I forgot that TJ has access to the soundboard. We did this episode, and very recently, I've been messaging someone who's really close to me, like, hey, I love this album too, and I didn't have words for why it connected with me, and then I listened to what you guys talked about, and now I know, and they're telling me all this stuff about, like, their personal life, and, like, how this is how it connected to me, and here's where my life is right now. And then that leads into questions about Jesus, questions about God. And we're not trying to do a bait and switch. We don't do this because we're like, hey, at the end, we could tell you about Jesus. No, we're trying to actually answer the questions. And a lot of times, like, Taylor Swift stuff is addressing the human condition, specifically usually around relationships, which is something everyone deals with at some point in their life, right? Like, so having these conversations led to something deeper that was more accessible than just, hey, let me tell you the good news of Jesus Christ on the cross. Rather, hey, let me tell you how Taylor Swift's message spoke to me and what that meant to me as someone who's gone through this stuff with Jesus. And then that kind of bridged this gap and allowed us to have deeper conversations than what we would have been able to have otherwise. So that's like that accessible thing. I think that's what, like, we're talking about. Like, it's not just going back to, like, what Ryan said. Like, it's not just, hey, we're having geeky fun. Like, it is that. Honestly, it is that. Sometimes it's just fun to tell everybody you're wrong about She-Hulk, but it's also, like, more than that, because, like, we're able to open these doors to conversations of, like, hey, wait a minute, we really wouldn't be okay with someone treating Kamala Khan the way that a lot of our politics are treating the Islamic community, right? And how do we address that as Christians? And man, that opens the door to some really wild and fun conversations I don't think we can get to otherwise.
Which is what, okay, Tripp has been doing some of his classes. Like, he'll teach, he'll be adjunct at, like, Elon or other places, Luther, and he literally teaches, like, God and pop culture or the apocalyptic genre, not through the lens of, like, Daniel and Revelation, but we'll use, like, Walking Dead and Battlestar Galactica and other kind of pop culture fandoms so that it is more accessible and that it lets people's guards down and they don't feel like they have all their identity attached to something. Although my identity is pretty attached to Star Wars when I think about Star Wars, but, or, you know, Lord of the Rings, it could be that it could, like, let's just say it's not all like roses and fun in fandom too. There's a lot of toxic fandom and a lot of gatekeeping when it comes to that kind of stuff too. At Comic-Cons could be pretty clicky just as much as it can any kind of church. And I've learned that walking in those spaces and doing panels and hearing people's conversations and stuff. So yeah, people are going to people, humans are going to human. And so those same things, stuff that we wrestle with in church are happening in other kind of subcultures, pop cultures as well. So anyway, but that's, Tripp was already doing that even before, you know, we started doing a systematic ecology and in Theology Beer Camp, they just kind of merged together and we're doing similar stuff. And so why not kind of join together and do some good work together with that? So wanted to share that aspect of things too. And then Ryan's podcast, the Mighty Thor podcast, I mean, it was spurred like a time in your life where you were doing some deconstructing when it came to your faith and ministry and youth ministry. And Thor came to you in a time when was helping you think through all those things. And then to be in this space where that deconstruction is happening, Ryan, how does that tie in into you like that in that space? Yeah. We're the kids at the lunch table may not feel as in or as popular as the podcast next to us, but in terms of our place there, it's still a safe place.
Yeah. So I've said this a few times, maybe on the systematic stuff I've done and other places where, like, Thor came to me. I was always a fan of him, like going back to the first movie and beginning of Jason Aaron's run. But when I left megachurch culture, when I failed at being a youth pastor, apparently if you don't hang out with the popular kids at youth group, even when you're the youth pastor, apparently you still don't fit in. So I left and I needed something to latch on to that kind of stirred my spiritual mind but also helped me kind of break it down to nothing. And I thought it was gonna, be so many other like very like philosophical things or deeply spiritual thing. No, it was a comic book that had come out about 10 years prior. And now, thanks to the guidance of one Josh Patterson, who we've already mentioned here, Josh has been teaching me kind of like casually about theopoetics. And I'm really gravitating to something like theopoetics. And I'm of the opinion that Jason Aaron may be one of the best theopoetics writers that I've ever read. To talk about, he's an atheist, confirmed, firm in his belief, atheist, who writes about spiritual themes, maybe the best that comics has seen. And that really resonated with me. And when you guys interviewed him a long time ago on Homebrewed, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have to just, you know, consign myself to like, well, I'm a conservative who believes conservatively. I'm a progressive who believes progressively. What if I don't know? And what if I'm okay with not knowing? What if I don't need to be confirmed in my belief? And that's where, like, you know, Josh is really helping me understand theopoetics and stuff right now. That's been really helpful. But that's something I would not have been able to tell you. I went to 5 years of Bible college and never heard the word theopoetics. And thanks to my connections through Beer Camp, I know about that, and it now resonates with me as someone who's, you know, about to turn 34 this year. I feel more spiritually stirred than I have been in the last 20, 25 years of my life. So, like, it doesn't have to be either or. It can be a third option. It can be a different path forward. And I think Beer Camp has helped me discover that path forward. It started with a silly comic book. And now it still involves silly comic books, but I now have a host of friends that help me forward. And that is incredibly valuable and rare. And Beer Camp is a big part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I love Josh Patterson.
Yeah, Josh Patterson's so cool. He's going to be on Whole Church soon, too.
You know, the first time I met Josh Patterson digitally was to talk about beer with drinks with Tejas. And the first time I met him in real life was at Theology Beer Camp.
Anyone who every encounter I've had was beer is a good person. I enjoy that.
Share bunk bed? I think you guys did.
Yeah, we did.
Hey, I want to so first I want to say Ryan's right. That's one of the best comic runs, just period, is Jason Aaron's Thor, and God, it's so good. It's just so freaking good. I didn't have as much of a spiritual connection as you did to it, but because of you and Will's conversation on some podcast somewhere, I did read the comic. I'm going to say this twice so that I can bleep it out for Whole Church people. I did read the God Damned comics for Whole Church people. I did read the God Explicit comics. I got to say, an atheist just writing about this time of Cain post the curse before his death, where he just can't die, doing like comic book stuff. Such a fun comic book. And for me, that helped me question inerrancy. That might be a conversation for another day, but I haven't quite turned on the anti-inerrancy, but I am one of those, like, I think I need to stop using the term inerrancy. I am at that point where I'm like, I feel like it's not honest if I keep using the term, even though I am pretty close to holding it. It just doesn't seem honest to say it anymore.
Yeah,
you can't have a high view of scripture, even if
yeah, you don't do have a very high view of scripture.
That with that word as a part of your own spiritual identity, so you have permission to do both.
But one thing I did want to open the doors into this, because like this is something for me, I wasn't at last year's beer camp, and I got so stinking excited, like I got like butterflies excited. Like my stomach turned because at the end of beer camp last year, Theology Beer Camp, TJ sends me a text saying, I think I might want to be a Tolkien scholar. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, no.
Hold up. That for me, I don't know why that made me so excited that something that happened at Theology Beer Camp, even though I wasn't there, made TJ think, nah, I love this Tolkien stuff. So TJ, first tell me about like what inspired you to send me that text. And then Nick, talk Tolkien for a bit.
It wasn't a scheduled.
And then I'm probably going to have to leave.
Right?
No, it was really. So is anyone familiar with the theoretical center of the universe? Supermassive black hole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is basically Nick. And just being around Nick for so many days straight and realizing, you know, like getting back into talking about Tolkien, I was like, man, I want to be like this guy so much.
That's fair.
Nick's gravitational pull was just overwhelming.
I got long-term sidetracked, which is on me, but
I know I'm still waiting for that writing, dude. I want to read it. I want to hear your thoughts on Tolkien, dude.
I just love Valorant.
Same. Oh, hey, this is so random. I left this out of my rant earlier, so I'm going to add it in here. So C.S. Lewis. Listen, we mentioned Tolkien. It reminded me of C.S. Lewis.
Jesus.
C.S. Lewis writes, and this is something I really enjoy. He talks about like the power of imagination. He says a lot of times, before we can change our beliefs, it really isn't like us reasoning our way. It's more like reasoning stands guard and doesn't let new ideas in. But your imagination can kind of sneak past that guard and allow you to explore new ideas. So that's something that Lewis writes that I think is really interesting, because he talks about the power of story being greater than just the power of reasoning, which is a lot of fun. Also is why I think our fandoms can actually let us do a little bit more than just simple theology sometimes. Okay, Nick, tell us about Tolkien. Just go.
Sorry. Sorry. What you said was really beautiful, Josh. And I'm being a 5-year-old on the private chat.
Nick, you freaking really, kill me, man.
And I'm literally just doing it to see Ryan laugh. That's all I'm doing.
Gosh.
So, but I agree with Josh about what C.S. Lewis said. And I think that, you know, connecting it to Tolkien here is that Tolkien and the Inklings were kind of like an early version of systematic ecology, if you will. Is that, you know, C.S. Lewis was an atheist first, and Tolkien, you know, was a very staunch Roman Catholic, but they loved Old Norse mythology, classical literature, etc., and writing stories, which led to C.S. Lewis converting to a sort of like evangelical Anglicanism or something. Tolkien or something like that, you know, who knows? You can't, it's hard to categorize people, but I think with what I hear from people's experiences with Ryan and TJ and Josh, in particular, just talking about getting connected to people at the LGBT camp, and finding this space within our respective, you know, podcast specialties to explore things without shoehorning Christianity or certain ideals into these things, but to allow like the wholeness of our diverse experience come together and inform who we are, and our friendships. And finding people who will like be like, yeah, I am super tangled and don't know what's going on and am trying to figure it out and have a good time with the people that I love and care about. And other people be like, yeah, same. And I think that's part of why I love Tolkien and have connected this to theology and even done stuff with Trip and tried to take some of my own theological experience and bring it into Tolkien, is because Tolkien's world is like that, right? You know, C.S. Lewis, there's a little bit of a Jesus lion in there, a little more complex than that. But Tolkien kind of says, yeah, I'm Catholic and my world's Catholic, but you don't need to be a Catholic to enjoy it. You know what I mean? So it's kind of similar how Middle Earth can be a playground for creatives. I think Beer Camp and our podcast and our friendships can be a sandbox for all of us and what we're doing. So
like one of the sacred texts that he reads to his kids and help guides his life and rereads. He didn't have a lot of time to read a lot of fiction or sci-fi, or even, you know, he reads some comics and stuff, but like Lord of the Rings is what he reads and studies and dives into to help. It's a narrative that's important to him. So, and Nick, you saying that systematic ecology is just another version of the Inklings, that's kind of what they are doing, just warmed my heart that I'm in like the same, like I never made that connection before. You're right. They gather around a table and they're geeking out on these things they geek out on, and it's having an impact on how they posture themselves in the world and the stories they tell and the stories they write and how they interact with their students. And this is the same way that I do with my ministry and campus ministry students, my friends. So yeah, we just, this is my geek alley, just a postmodern Inklings.
Oh yeah.
I have something I'd like to reveal to the world. Secretly, though.
So this isn't very secret platform, TJ.
Yeah, but like Tripp's probably not going to listen to this exact part. So I'm going to tell everyone our secret plan.
Yes.
Eat those words. Okay. Eat those words.
So secretly, all of us geek stagers have been getting super swole. I hope everyone has kept up with their gym routine for the past year. Yeah, Nick has.
Oh, put those away, Nick. Put those away.
So we're going to... The secret is we're going to get so large that even though we're getting a bigger stage, the stage is going to look smaller. So 2025, we're going to have an even bigger stage.
What is this? A stage for ants?
We're going to have a stage of like bodybuilders doing like lifting things.
Bodybuilder geeks.
The bodybuilders. We're going to break bricks. Oh, man. Lift wood.
We're going to walk through the geek stage. You're going to think we went to
the power team in 2 years.
We're going to be a power team in 2 years. That's what you're saying, TJ? We're going to be a power team.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
Nobody's going to call us.
Designated outliner and party pooper, I know we need to start bringing this in for a landing. We do. So I want to hear from you guys before we wrap this up and do our outros, plural. What do we expect for Theology Beer Camp's Geek Stage in 2024? And what do we hope for in the future other than us all just getting really swole, apparently?
Tears.
Yeah.
What? Elaborate.
No, yeah, unpack that, TJ.
No. Okay. Someone unpack it for him. Someone guess what TJ means by tears.
Tears
is it going to be tear gas? Is it like a political event?
Oh, God.
Who knows what's going to happen a year from now? But it's before November. So we at least have before the election. But I will say it runs the gambit of the human experience from emotion, head, heart, soul, your mind, your feelings. You don't have to check your brain at the door. You don't have to check your heart at the door. Like all those things come together, and that's exactly what it is. You can bring every organ you have, Ryan, you can bring to systematic.
Dang it. I thought you didn't see that.
No.
This is going on YouTube, Ryan. What do you mean?
Sorry.
It's emotional. It's also it stimulates your mind and what you're thinking. So all that comes together. And yes, there's like, this is the best of homebrew Christianity, kind of the people who's been on his it's like, you know, when a band goes on tour, Foo Fighters goes on tour, they're going to play some of their new stuff, but they're always going to play their classics. And so you're going to hear Tripp say some of the same phrases he says on his podcast live in person, but you're also going to have some new guests or people that he met over the last year. And some of the new guests, like, or people who haven't seen it, Theology Beer Camp, Catherine Keller, Ilio Dilio, man, she's a powerhouse when it comes to faith and science and how they come together. They're part of the process party, but in terms of and she's Catholic, and an evolving universe can apply to love of Jesus and a triune God. Heck yeah, baby. That's what I'm there for.
I know this is weird, but like more than the theology, more than like the big church stuff or even the geek stage, what I'm looking forward to this year and in future years are those moments, to call back like Will and TJ's conversation earlier, where it really feels like church for real. Like, Where the marginalized are the ones who are actually administering, you know, the sacrament, or like where, like, for me, I don't know why, like a big church moment for me was when Ryan looked at me after I told him about this version of D&D that I invented and said, that might be the nerdiest thing anyone has ever said.
And no and one like, has topped it yet.
Post-Common Era is the nerdiest thing ever created.
That was...
We should do an episode about that for the SG one day.
I will specifically. Not miss it. I refuse to not be on that episode because that
interview
was
some me of about the post-COVID era.
Listener, no matter how you're listening to this, when I say it was the nerdiest thing, like I've been around these conversations for a long time, and I was stunned at the level of detail and intensity Joshua was talking about. And I got done with the conversation, and I'll be honest, I had no freaking idea what he was talking about. None. I leave it, and I was like, well, that was a lot, and I don't really know what to do with it yet. Just like most nerdy conversations, but it was on a next level.
That's a teaser for future SG stuff.
You know,
like,
you know what's
even just
you
like crazy meeting Nick, And for me, just like all the little moments of like truly connecting with other humans that maybe I don't always agree with. That's what church is. And for me, that's what I'm most excited about this year and going forward. Yeah. Sorry, TJ. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, Ryan?
Yes.
It gets worse.
I would view it as it gets better. Joshua is one of my favorites.
You should meet our friend. I don't know if he's okay with saying his name publicly, but.
Oh, yeah.
The three of us.
You should probably not.
You should hear us talk.
You can come to the beer camp and see how round my head is.
Yeah, me, TJ, and our other best friend definitely had really in-depth conversation about the science of not existing. Yeah.
Wow.
Will's head is exuberantly round.
That sounds like it needs to be medicated and reported to a therapist.
It was.
One thing I'll say that I'm excited about for this beer camp and just like land the plane here, Joshua, like I love how this has really formed like a weird brotherhood in our hosts because like
the fellowship
we are legitimately all there to facilitate a conversation that, you know, there's people at the open and relational stage. They can facilitate that conversation because it's their area of passion and expertise. And this is a conversation we can facilitate because it's an area of our, you know, our various expertises and our passion. So it's easy for us to connect with people on these things because it just like we don't have to summon it up. We don't have to act like it. It just is who we are. And so if you come to the beer camp geek stage, you're going to see that on full display. You know, you're going to see people like Craig Boyd, who just did story time. He read he read a portion from I believe it was Return of the King that was just
so good,
impactful. It was incredible. Donna Bowman knows more about how to read pop culture than anybody listening to this. She's forgotten more about pop culture than a lot of people know. So that's the level that we're dealing with. And we get to come together in this weird brotherhood. And then there's Will standing there like he's leading the oldest and weirdest youth group ever, you know, with the four of us. And we're just perfect. Like, yeah, Pastor, I know. We said that weird thing.
Youth Pastor Hart. That's where I started, baby. Always will be.
Will, do you ever feel like that when like all of us get together? It's just man, flexing my youth group muscles, just listening to this weird.
When I was youth pastor down in Florida, like Josh Patterson was down at Emmett, you guys were all been, all you 30-something kids would have been in my youth group. So that's all.
That would have been cool.
I would have been driving that bus, yelling at y'all, shut up.
We should take the bus to that's true. No, I want to let Nick have the final word. But before I do, I have to have the preultimate final word.
Penultimate.
Thank you. Preultimate. I think what's interesting that Ryan made me think of, and that's not like a flex or anything. I think you should attend all stages if you go to Theology Beer Camp 2024 in Denver, Colorado. But a lot of your other stages, a lot of other even times that I've had to speak, you already know what you're going to say. You know where the conversation is going to go. You know what you want it to be about. A lot of the times at Geek Stage, we have no earthly idea where the conversation is going to go. We're there to just see what happens. And we're just kind of facilitating and letting whatever happens happen. All right, Nick, final words. What are you excited for this year and the years to come? Go.
I'm just excited for more friends, more conversations. You know, one of the things that our stages has a unique privilege in doing is facilitating those conversations, not just with our, you know, our keynote speakers, like Craig Boyd and Travis, who did Star Wars, and James McGrath.
And awesome talk.
But just, great stuff. But even just passing the microphone to the crowd. And because we're not dealing with sensitive subjects like, did Jesus really raise from the dead historically? You know, people don't get as pissed off. And so we can share the microphone, and I'm a big punk rock guy, and getting people involved in the process of creating and enjoying stuff. Like, we got to do that, and I'm excited for just seeing how that evolves through our different plans. And I'm very excited for that. And also, staying in a house with everyone again will just be amazing.
Yeah, that's the behind the stage stuff. We're gonna have a good time.
There's only one thing that I need out of Denver beer camp, and it's I need the ping pong table to be better.
I thought he was just gonna say we.
Yeah.
No, I need a better ping pong table with more room.
That's all.
All right. That's
does TJ really need
I prefer. Too? I prefer that need. He does. He does need more room for his ping pong skills. If you're there in person, you can see it. We will not be videoing it for the YouTube page. You have to go in person to see TJ play ping pong and possibly lose to him if you'd like.
Yeah.
Hey, friends. Guess what? You made it to the end. I am super proud of you. You listened to that whole conversation. You laughed with us. You wondered what we were talking about. If you have any questions about Theology Beer Camp and what it's about and whether you fit in or whether you could be a part of that community, DM us, message us. I guarantee you, you'll have a blast at this incredible event. And I'll also share with you a special bonus secret. Guess what? If you made it all the way to the end here and you DM me, Will, Professor of Geekology Rose, if you DM me on Instagram or Facebook or through our Systematic Geekology account on Facebook or Instagram, if you DM me and made it all the way to the end and tell me that you're going to be in person at Theology Beer Camp, I will bring you a free graphic novel. I will bring you one of my favorite graphic novels, give it to you in person, free of charge, and just hand it off to you. Yep, that's how bad I want to see you at Theology Beer Camp. So we hope to see you there. Keep geeking out with us. Let us know what you're listening to, what you're geeking out on. And always remember to nerd out with your geek out.